نشكره ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave servant and His messenger. This morning, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we would like to continue in the series of lectures dealing with the brief explanation of the evidences of the shurut of La ilaha illallah. Adillatu La ilaha illallah. Shurut, adillatu shurut of La ilaha illallah. And these evidences are taken from the essay of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, with a brief explanation from Shaykh Ubaid al-Jabiri, Allah yahfadhu. In the previous lecture, we have mentioned three of the shurut of La ilaha illallah: al-ilm, wal-yaqeen, wal-ikhlas. Al-ilm, the knowledge, and it means the knowledge of the meaning of La ilaha illallah, what it negates and what it confirms, that it negates worship for other than Allah and confirms that worship is for Allah alone. As for al-yaqeen, it is kamal al-ilm, the perfection of knowledge, yani knowledge to its fullest extent, after which there is no doubt, there is no shak or raib. Now. As for the third condition of La ilaha illallah, that is al-ikhlas. Al-ikhlas, it is the opposite of a shirk. Yani of the conditions or the shurut of La ilaha illallah is that a person has to make this statement or pronouncement or confession, making that statement purely for the sake of Allah alone, without associating anyone in it, yani avoiding shirk. The fourth condition or shart of La ilaha illallah. The fourth condition of La ilaha illallah, it is al-sidq al-munafi lil-kadhib wal-mani' min al-nifaq. Yani the fourth condition is al-sidq or truthfulness, that the person should make this pronouncement or this confession or testimony truthfully, that sidq which negates lying and which prohibits hypocrisy, it prevents hypocrisy. If the person is truthful in their statement of La ilaha illallah, then they would have avoided lying, and they also will have avoided hypocrisy and nifaq, because they have said it out of truthfulness and sincerity. Then the Shaykh mentions, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab mentions three evidences, two verses of the Qur'an and a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first of those evidences, he said, دَلِيلَ الصِّدْقِ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى. The evidence for this condition of الصِّدْقِ or truthfulness, it is the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Anqabut, chapter 29, verses 1 through 3. أَلِفْ لَامْ مِيمْ أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُطْرَقُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. The saying of Allah, Alif Lam Mim, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسِ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. And do the people think that they will be left alone or upon saying that we believe? Would they be left alone on just saying from their tongue that we believe and that they will not be tested after that? لَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Indeed, we have tested and tried those who were before them, the believers in the previous prophet. When they claimed to believe in Allah, then they were tested with trials and tribulations to confirm the correctness and the legitimacy of their claim of Iman. فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. And through these tests and trials, through the tests and trials, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make known, He will bring forth the manifestation of those who are truthful in their statement of La ilaha illallah and those who are kathibin, kathib, lying. As sidq, it removes lying. The one who is truthful will not be a liar. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests the one who says La ilaha illallah in order to manifest and to bring out so it will be known to others. While Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already knows without testing them who from amongst them are truthful and who from amongst them are lying. The second evidence that Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab mentions is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2 verses 8 and 9 or 8 and 9 and 10. The saying of Allah, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنْفُسَهُمْ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ. That from amongst the people are those who say by their tongue, we believe in Allah in the last day. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ, from amongst the people there are some, مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. They say that they believe in Allah in the last day, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala negates their iman. He says, وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ, but they are not believers. And this is the case of the hypocrites who say, لا إله إلا الله, but not with صدق, not truthfully, but كذب, lying. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says concerning them, يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, that they seek to deceive Allah and those who believe. وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ, but they do not deceive anyone except their own selves. وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ, and they do not perceive, they are not aware. They seek to deceive Allah by the false, lying profession of La ilaha illallah, while it is not in their heart, the iman that supports it. They seek to deceive Allah and those who believe by their statement, but they only deceive themselves while they are not aware that the deception is only falling on themselves. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ, that in their hearts is a disease, the disease of hypocrisy and nifaq. They claim on their tongue to believe while in their heart there is kufr. This is nifaq, hypocrisy. The one who claims to believe while in the heart they do not believe. فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ, in their hearts is a disease, hypocrisy and doubt. فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا, so Allah increased their disease. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَلِيمٌ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ, and for them is a terrible punishment because of their lying. Because of their lying when they claimed to believe, they were lying. It was kadhib. It was not sidq. It was not truthfulness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the end of this verse says that they have a heart, a disease in their heart because of their hypocrisy. Then Allah in this world punishes them by increasing their disease. And this is based on the principle that the Shaykh mentions in the Sharh, that the action or the sin or the crime that a person commits would be rewarded and equally or similarly. Al-jaza'u min jins al-amal. Al-jaza', the reward or recompense, For one's actions, min jins al-amal, will be similar to the deed that one has done. Whoever has done good, then Allah will reward them with good. And whoever has done evil, Allah would reward them with evil. Here also in this verse, there's the mention of their punishment in the next life, and that is azabun aleem, a terrible punishment, because they used to lie. As for the evidence from the Sunnah, Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab says, وَمِنَ السُنَّةِ مَا ثَبَتَ فِي الصَّحِيحَيْنِ عَنْ مُعَاذِ بِنْ جَبَلْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ عَنَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قال ما من أحد يشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله صدقا من قلبه إلا حرمه الله على النار. In this hadith, the proof from the Sunnah is that which is confirmed in Sahihain, and as Shaykh al-Albani says in the checking of Mishkat that this hadith is not reported in the Sahih of Muslim. Perhaps it is reported through another chain or similar wording. In any case, Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab says it is confirmed in a Sahihain from Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he said that there is no one, ma min ahadin, there is no one who testifies that there is nothing which deserves to be worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave servant and his messenger. There is no one who testifies to this صدقًا من قلبه, يعني truthfully from his heart, saying it truthfully from his heart, إلا حرمه الله على النار, except that Allah would prohibit him, يعني would prohibit the fire from touching that person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would prohibit the fire from harming that one who testifies to this shahadatain, the statement of La ilaha illallah and Muhammad Rasulullah, truthfully from their heart. Whoever says it truthfully, then it would be a help for him and a protection for him from the hellfire. Then the Shaykh mentioned after this the discussion of the explanation of these evidences of Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah. The Shaykh Ubayd al-Jabari, hafidhahullah, he says, as for the statement, the saying of Allah, alif lam mim, and the statement of Allah from Surah Al-Ankabut, he said that Al-Imam al-Baghawi, the great scholar of Tafsir, rahimahullah, says concerning these verses from Surah Al-Ankabut, alif lam mim, ahasib al-nas, يعني, do the people think, do they imagine, do they believe, أَن يُطْرَقُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. He said, do they think that they would be left without being tested and without being tried by merely saying, يعني, by merely saying on their tongue that we believe? Do they think that they would be left and they would not be tested and they would not be tried, that they would not be tested in their wealth or with their lives, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might test them by taking some of their wealth or taking some of their lives or their health? Do they think that they would be left alone by merely professing belief on the tongue and then they would not be tested through their wealth and their lives? It is not so. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Imam al-Baghawi says, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test them. Allah will test them in order to make clear and to distinguish the mukhlis, the one who is sincere with ikhlas, from the munafiq, the one who is a hypocrite, and to distinguish a sadiq, the truthful one who has sidq, from the kadhib, the liar, who speaks with kadhib. Then he says, Al-Imam al-Baghawi goes on to say that another explanation of this ayat, it has also been said, وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do they think they will be left alone on saying they believe without being tested or tried? And he tested or tried, he said, bil awamir wal nawahi, with the commands of Allah and the prohibitions of Allah. Do they think that they would be left to say they believed and then they would not be tested? Would they would not be required to fulfill the commands of Allah and to avoid the prohibitions of Allah? And that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at first, He only required of them al-Iman, Yani they were required to believe. And after that, the salat and the zakat and the other Islamic laws were legislated. And when those laws were legislated, it became difficult for some of them. They found difficulty in it. So Allah revealed this ayah. Do they think that they would be left alone on saying they believe and they would not be tested or tried? They would not be required to fulfill the commands of Allah and to avoid His prohibitions and to enact the other requirements of the Sharia? Do they think that they would not be required to do so? Then he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consoled them with the verses that follow, وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ, that indeed we have tested those before them, meaning that the prophets and those who followed the prophets, the believers of the previous nation, that indeed they were tested. So the believers in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if they found difficulty in being tested, they should know that the believers in the previous prophets from the previous nations also were tested. And then the Shaykh says that some of them were tested by their bodies being sawn, by a saw being sawn into two parts. And the Prophet ﷺ, in the authentic hadith, he has mentioned to some of his companions when they were losing patience and asking, when will the help of Allah come? He said, do you know that some of the believers from the previous nations, that they were tested by being tied down and then their body being sawn into two parts. And some of them were tested by being killed in other ways. And the Bani Israel, the children of Israel, the followers of Musa alayhi salam, they were tested by Fir'aun and what he inflicted upon them. Indeed, he inflicted upon them a terrible punishment. And that was a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those who said that they believed to see those who are truthful and those who are lying. And the words of Allah, فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا, يعني so that Allah would make known and He would manifest those who are صادق, those who are truthful in their saying, آمَنَّا, when they said we believe. Allah will make manifest who are truthful in their statement, وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ, and He will make known those who are كَاذِب, liars, who are claiming on their tongue what is not in their heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He already knows. He is the best knower of the people, those who are truthful and those who are liars, even before He tests them. Because Allah, His knowledge is all-encompassing of everything that has existed and everything that will exist. Allah knows the details as well as the general matters. The meaning of this ayah, says Al-Imam Al-Baghawi, it means that Allah will make apparent, and He will make it known who are the sadiqeen, the truthful, distinguishing them from the kathibeen, the liars, until it becomes something that is well known, until He brings it out so everybody will see. Allah already knows, but He will make it manifest so that other people will see. And this is the end of what the Shaykh wanted to quote from these verses from the tafsir of Al-Baghawi, rahimahullah. After that, he mentions some discussion concerning the second evidence of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab from Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. The saying of Allah, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ وَآمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, that from amongst the people are some who say we believe in Allah in the last day, and they are not really believers. There are some from amongst them who are munafiqun. They are not truthful in their claim to Iman, to the end of those ayats. The Shaykh says concerning this, that this is information from Allah, the Mighty and the Majestic, concerning the way of the munafiqun. What was the behavior or the manner of the munafiqun? It was manifesting or openly showing Iman by professing it on their tongue while concealing kufr, disbelief, which was in their hearts. That is the way of the munafiq, that he displays Iman openly and he claims it by his tongue, but in his heart there is kufr. And this is due, as they claim, to deceive Allah and to deceive the believers so that the believers will be misled and that they will be inclined towards them. يعني that they will accept them. However, the result is the opposite due to their deception. The result of their effort to deceive the believers is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused them only to deceive themselves. However, they are not aware of it. They are not even aware that they are the ones who are deceived. And this is due to the extreme ignorance and due to their evil intentions. That which motivated these people to engage in this deceit and this lying, it was the shak, the doubt that was in their hearts. And it was the hypocrisy that was in their hearts. And this is what is understood from the saying of Allah, فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا, that they have a marv, a sickness, a disease in their hearts. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards them. He rewards them with that which is similar to their action. It was due to their sickness of hypocrisy and doubt, doubting the truth. So Allah rewards them, He punishes them, He recompenses them by increasing their sickness. And here the Shaykh says that this is what is mentioned by the scholars as al-jaza'u min jins al-amal. Al-jaza'u, the reward or the recompense, min jins al-amal. It is similar, it is of the same type as the deed or the action that one does. Here it was because of their hypocrisy and doubt in the truth, therefore their reward or their recompense is that Allah increase their doubt and increase their hypocrisy. After that, he says that this statement that in their hearts is a disease, so Allah increased their disease, and the reward being like their action, more disease. He said this is their punishment in the dunya, in this world. Allah punished them in this world by increasing their doubt and their hypocrisy. And he said this is similar to the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning the disbelievers of Bani Israel, that which is mentioned in Surah As-Saff, chapter 61, verse 5. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَحْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ, that when they turned away from the truth, فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا, when they turned away, أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ, then Allah turned their hearts away. يعني الجزاء من جنس العمل. When they turned away from the truth, not accepting it and not believing in it, then Allah rewarded them, He recompensed them by turning their hearts away further from the truth. So the punishment, it is in accordance with the sin that they have committed. When they turned away, Allah turned them further away, and Allah does not guide the sinful, disobedient, rebellious people. That is their reward in this world. As for their reward or their punishment in the next life, it is what is mentioned in the saying of Allah at the end of this ayat, وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ, that they will have a terrible or painful punishment due to their lying, the lying that they engaged in when they claimed that they believed, while in fact they did not believe. Then the Shaykh says that what is similar to what Allah has mentioned, the story that Allah has mentioned concerning the munafiqeen in the verses of Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2 verses 8 through 10, similar to that which Allah has mentioned here is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning the hypocrites in Surah Al-Nisa chapter 4 verse 143, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ, that indeed the hypocrites, they seek to deceive Allah, but in fact Allah deceived them. And that is the just reward for their attempt to deceive Allah, that Allah caused them to be deceived. وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا قُتَالًا, and this is the description of the hypocrites, that when they stand up for prayer, they don't really believe, but they have to pretend to pray in order to deceive the people. So when they stand up for prayer, he said, قَامُوا قُسَالًا, they stand up with laziness. Yani, as though they are not really feeling like they want to pray. They feel lazy. They don't want to be bothered with it. But they have to go through the motions in order to deceive the people. وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى يُرَاؤُونَ النَّاسَ. And they only are showing, يعني, the people. They are making a display. They are doing it to be seen by the people. This is from the characteristics, the sifat of the munafiqeen, that they perform acts of ibadah just to be seen by the people. They don't do it sincerely for Allah, but they do it so people will see them, so people will think that they are from the believers. يُرَاؤُونَ النَّاسَ وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And they don't remember Allah إِلَّا قَلِيلًا, except a little. Their remembrance of Allah in the salat or outside of the salat, it is very little. The salat is remembrance, but for the hypocrite, there is not much remembrance of Allah in the salat because there is no sincerity in their salat. Then he describes them finally, مُذَبْذَبِينَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ لَا إِلَى هَؤُلَاءِ وَلَا إِلَى هَؤُلَاءِ. يعني that they are swaying between this and that. They are not with these, the believers, nor are they with those, the disbelievers. They are going back and forth between them, not really being from amongst the believers, nor being from amongst the disbelievers. وَمَنْ يُضْلِلِ اللَّهُ فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُ سَبِيلًا. And whoever Allah leads astray, after they have turned away, then Allah turns them further away. Whoever Allah leads astray, then you will never find for them a way to the straight path or to the truth. There will never be a way for them. The Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, in his tafsir of this ayah, from Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 143, concerning the hypocrites, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us about the hypocrites. What was their condition, or what was their state? The disgraceful ugliness of their characteristics and their vile character. He said that their way is that they seek to deceive Allah, meaning they outwardly show al-Iman, but inwardly they conceal disbelief, kufr. And they think that this will get over with this. They can fool Allah and Allah would not know, or that Allah would not reveal or manifest or expose them to His believers. They think that in openly showing Iman or hiding their kufr, that they will get away with it, that Allah would not know it, or that Allah would not expose them to His servants, the true believers. But the fact of the matter, the reality of their condition, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deceives them by simply leaving them in this condition, while they continue going on in this condition, thinking that they are deceiving someone, while in fact they are the ones who are deceived. So what greater deception is it that a person strives? A striving for something that what it returns to them or what it brings to them, their every effort only brings to them al-hawan, wa-dhil, wa-l-hurman, yani contempt or humiliation and disgrace and deprivation. Every effort that they make to achieve, they only achieve disgrace, and they are humiliated, and they are deprived, and they are in contempt because of their attempt to deceive Allah and those who believe. So Allah caused them to be deceived themselves, and they lose out the true loss. After this, the Shaykh, he goes on to say in the tafsir of these verses, that this alone, the fact that they are the ones who are really deceived, this is enough to indicate or to point out the defect in their intellect, the defect in the intellect of the one who attempts to deceive Allah and those who believe, such that the defect in their intellect is so great that they have combined between two things, al-ma'asiyah, sin or disobedience to Allah, and they see that sin as being something good, and in addition to that, they have joined to it their thinking or their imagination that what they are doing, it is something of intelligence, or that it is a real successful scheme, when in fact, it is no more than disobedience to Allah, and it is only self-deception, and they are the ones who go astray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves them, abandons them, the one who does so. Allah abandons them, and leaves them in misguidance. And then also, from the abandoning of them on Yawm al-Qiyamah, is that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in another place in the Qur'an, in Surah Al-Hadid, chapter 57, verses 13 and 14. Not only Allah abandoned them in this world, but He will also abandon them in the next life on Yawm al-Qiyamah. As He said, يَوْمَ يَقُولُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتُ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا انظُرُونَا نَقْتَبِسْ مِن نُورِكُمْ. Yani on that day, yani the day of Qiyamah, the day of judgment, the hypocrites, believe the hypocrites from a male and the female hypocrites, they will say to those who believe, the true believers, they will say to them, wait for us, so that we may take something from your light, the light that Allah would give to the believers on that day in order for them to proceed. قِيلَ ارْجِعُوا وَرَاءَكُمْ. It would be said to them, return to the rear, go back. فَالْتَمِسُوا نُورًا. And take or find some light there. Go back and find some light. And when they go back, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَضُرِبَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِسُورٍ لَهُ بَابٌ بَاطِنُهُ فِيهِ الرَّحْمَةُ وَظَاهِرُهُ مِنْ قِبَلِهِ الْعَذَابُ يُنَادُونَهُمْ أَلَمْ نَكُنْ مَعَكُمْ. To the end of the ayat. Yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would abandon them on Yawm al-Qiyamah likewise, when they ask the believers for some of their light, and they will be told to go back. When they go back, a wall would be placed or set up between them. A wall that has a door. And on the inside of that door would be rahmah, the mercy of Allah. And on the outside of it, where the hypocrites would be, there would be punishment. And then they would call out to the believers, were we not with you? And weren't we with you? Why are we cut off now? This is because of their lying and their falsehood, and their claim to believe, while in fact in their hearts was kufr, or disbelief. Then the Shaykh says, concerning the ayat of Surah Al-Nisa, concerning the hypocrites, chapter 4, verse 143, that verily the hypocrites, they seek to deceive Allah, but it is Allah who deceives them. وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى. And when they stand up for the prayer, they stand up lazily. يُرَاؤُونَ النَّاسَ. Just to be seen by the people in the prayer while they don't really want to pray. وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And they don't remember Allah except a little. He said concerning these verses that these are from amongst the sifat or the characteristics of the hypocrites. That when they stand up for prayer, and the salat, the prayer is of the greatest and the most important of acts of obedience to Allah. The actions that a person does in obedience to Allah, the greatest of them is a salat. However, the hypocrites, when they stand up for this great act of ibadah, they stand up lazily, as though it is a heavy burden, and they are fidgeting because of the salat that they have to perform while they have no desire to be there. They are not sincere in their salat. So the laziness, this laziness that is seen in their salat, he said that this is due to the loss of interest, because they have no interest or no desire in their heart to perform this prayer. So if the heart, if it wasn't that the heart was empty of ragbah or interest or inclination or desire to turn to Allah and to achieve or to reach that which Allah has for the true believers, the reward that He has, if it were not for their heart being empty from this desire to achieve what Allah has for the believers, and if it were not for the fact that their heart was empty from iman, if it wasn't so, then this laziness that is displayed in their prayer would never have been there. Concerning the saying, يُرَاءُونَ النَّاسِ, that they only pray to be seen by the people, he said, in this way, that which is within this, that which is their secret or their inner being, it is exposed, it is brought out, it is exhibited, and the people see it. And this is the source, and that which is in their heart is the source of their actions. And since it is not sincere, then it is not seen as true worship, but it is seen as laziness, the one who doesn't want to engage in such an act, which they do only to be seen by the people. Their intention or their hope is just that they would be seen by the people and that they would be admired and that they would be respected while they are not performing such an act sincerely for Allah alone. Then the Shaykh says, also from their sifat is the saying in these verses, لَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا, that they don't remember Allah except a little. That is because their heart is full of riya, any ostentation or showing off. Their heart is full of riya. So they only do it to be seen by the people. Therefore, the remembrance of Allah in the salat for them is very little. Indeed, the remembrance of Allah and that which goes with it, it will not be except in the heart of a believer whose heart is full of the love of Allah and the greatness of Allah. The remembrance of Allah and that which accompanies it, it will only be in the heart of the believer who has in his heart the love of Allah and the ta'zeem, or the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the final characteristic of the hypocrites, and the first of them being their laziness in the salat, and the second of them being their desire to be seen by the people, and the third of them being that they remember Allah little. The fourth characteristic of the hypocrites is in the end of this ayat, مُذَبْذَبِينَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ لَا إِلَى هَؤُلَاءِ وَلَا إِلَى هَؤُلَاءِ, that they are swaying or going back before between these and those. They are not with the believers and they are not with the disbelievers, but they are in between, going back and forth, and indecisively going between the party of the believers and the party of the disbelievers. So they are not with the believers inwardly and outwardly. And they are with the believers only with the outer show. And they are not with the disbelievers inwardly and outwardly. And they are only with the disbelievers secretly in their heart. So they have given their inner selves. Their real, true intention, it is with the disbelievers, while they have given their outer selves to the believers, showing, yani, trying to pretend to be from amongst them. So what could be a greater, misguidance than the one who is neither with these nor with those, but lost in between? Then the Shaykh says, as for the end of this ayat, وَمَنْ يُضْلِلِ اللَّهُ فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُ سَبِيلًا, that whoever Allah leads astray, you will not find a way for that one. It means that you would not find a way to guide them, nor would you find a way to cause them or to make them to leave their misguidance. You will not find a way for them because the door of mercy is closed upon them. They have exchanged it with the curse of Allah because of their deception and their lying and hypocrisy. Then the Shaykh says that these blameworthy characteristics, drawing attention to the characteristics of the hypocrites, it is a way of identifying or indicating that the believers, the true believers, are described with the opposite characteristics from the characteristics of the hypocrites. And the believers are described with sidq, truthfulness and ikhlas, sincerity, inwardly and outwardly. And they don't hide or hold back their activeness in their salat and in their acts of worship and in their remembrance of Allah often and much. And indeed, these characteristics, the blameworthy characteristics of the hypocrites also, they draw our attention to the fact that it is the true believers who are guided, while the hypocrites are misguided, and the true believers are given the success of being guided to the straight way, while the hypocrites are left astray and lost. Therefore, every sane and sensible, intelligent person should consider these two matters, the condition of the hypocrites and the condition of the true believers, and choose which of them is best for him. Wallahu musta'an. This is the end of the tafsir of this verse of Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di. Then the Shaykh closes with the discussion of the final evidence, the third proof of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, the hadith that he mentioned on the authority of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu. And that hadith he has mentioned in brief. And here, yani Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab has mentioned just the main part of that hadith, which is the shahid, or the point of reference, or the proof for our topic of discussion. And here, Shaykh Ubayd al-Jabri, Hafidhullah, mentions the story behind this hadith, or that which the circumstances under which that statement was made. And he says that it is reported by Shaykhan al-Bukhari and Muslim, in the narration of Anas from Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhuma. And the wording of this hadith is from Bukhari, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ya Mu'adh, he said to Mu'adh, while Mu'adh was riding on his animal, his riding animal, with him, he was riding behind him. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Mu'adh were riding together, the Prophet in the front sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Mu'adh behind him radiallahu anhu. In that condition, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, while they were alone, it was only the two of them, and there was no one with them, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ya Mu'adh ibn Jabal, O Mu'adh ibn Jabal. And Mu'adh radiallahu anhu said, Labayk ya Rasulullah wa sa'adayk. He said, I respond to your call, and I am obedient to your order. Labayk ya Rasulullah wa sa'adayk. Order me, I am listening. He said, Ya Mu'adh. And Mu'adh again said, Labayk ya Rasulullah wa sa'adayk. Until he said that three times. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to say something very important to Mu'adh, and he called him so many times in order to get his full attention, for him to understand that the matter was very important. At that moment, between the two of them, when there was no one with them, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Mu'adh this statement, مَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ يَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صِدْقًا مِنْ قَلْبِهِ إِلَّا حَرَّمَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّارِ. That there is no one who testifies that there is nothing which deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah, صِدْقًا مِنْ قَلْبِهِ, truthfully, sincerely from his heart, except that Allah would prohibit the fire from touching him. Mu'adh radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, أَفَلَا أُخْبِرُ بِهِ النَّاسِ فَيَسْتَبْشِرُوا. He said, O Messenger of Allah, shall I not inform the people of this statement that you have made, so that they would be pleased, so that they would have the good tidings, the bushra, the good news of paradise for those who make this statement of shahada sincerely, yani truthfully from their heart? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَنْ يَتَّقِلُوا. If you did so, if you were to inform them of such, then they would depend on it. Yani meaning that they would rely on that alone. They would feel that as long as I have said the shahada truthfully, صِدْقًا مِنْ قَلْبِي, from my heart, then I am guaranteed to enter the paradise, and they might not strive to do the good deeds that are necessary along with the iman that is in the heart. Then after that, Mu'adh knew that the Prophet ﷺ didn't want him to tell the people, because he knew that if the people were told such, they might rely on it. So he only wanted to inform Mu'adh of that. That was something that he told him, because he knew that he wouldn't misunderstand it, and he would act appropriately, and he would take it as good news, and he would still strive and struggle to earn the reward of Allah by doing the good deeds that are required of the believers. In the end of the narration of this hadith, the narrator says, وَأَخْبَرَ بِهَا مُعَاذُ عِنْدَ مَوْتِهِ تَأَثُّمًا. تَأَثُّمًا. Yani that Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu didn't inform the people, as he understood the Prophet ﷺ didn't want him to inform them. However, he only informed the people at the time of his death. And he just before dying, he told that hadith And he said that was out of fear that he might be engaging in sin by holding back or concealing the knowledge. يعني كتمان العلم. He feared that if he kept this knowledge to himself and didn't inform anybody and died with it, then he might have fallen into sin, the sin of concealing or hiding knowledge. Therefore, just before his death, he informed about it, he narrated that hadith, so that it has now come to us. The shahid, or the point of reference from this hadith, is the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, صِدْقًا مِنْ قَلْبِهِ. And whoever makes this statement of La ilaha illallah wa Muhammad Rasulullah, truthfully from his heart. This is the point of the hadith that supports our claim that from the sharut of La ilaha illallah, in order for it to be accepted, the person has to say it with sidq, with truthfulness from their heart. And whoever does so, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will prohibit the fire from touching them. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir, Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani, rahimahullah, in his sharh of Sahih al-Bukhari, he says concerning the use of this word sidqan, that whoever makes this statement sidqan, truthfully, he said that this is a way of excluding the shahada of the munafiq. The Prophet ﷺ used this word that the people will be protected from the fire, whoever said La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, sidqan min qalbihi, he said in this way he has excluded from this hadith and from the reward promised to the people who make such a statement, he has excluded the shahada or the testimony of the munafiq. Because the munafiq, he doesn't make this statement sidqan, truthfully from his heart, but he makes it kadiban, lying. He makes it lying. So in this way, it was a protection or an exclusion of the hypocrites from that which the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in this hadith. So then the Shaykh Ubaid Jabri Hafidhah Allah, he says that from this it becomes clear the agreement between this hadith and what has been reported by the author, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, of the previous ayats. Yani the agreement between this hadith and those ayats is in the fact that this hadith and those ayats reject the shahada or the testimony of the one who does not join the statement on his tongue of La ilaha illallah with i'tiqad or belief in the heart. Yani whoever doesn't join these two together, just saying it on the tongue, it is not sufficient. But one has to join with that statement on the tongue, sincere belief in the heart. And indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has rejected the statement of the munafiqeen from their tongue who testified to the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He rejected their saying, even though they clearly testified to the prophethood of the messengership of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that was the reason why Allah has rejected them and called them liars. He called them liars when they said what they said, even though what they said was true. They said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah. But Allah said they are liars. Why did Allah say they are liars? It is because they were only saying it on their tongue. But the lie was what was in their heart. The what was on the tongue was true, but what was in the heart was false. For this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Munafiqeen, chapter 63, verse 1, إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ قَالُوا نَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ. That when the hypocrites come to you, meaning the Prophet ﷺ, when they come to you, they say, نَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ. We bear witness that definitely. المنافقين لكاذبون. يعني the hypocrites, they said that we definitely bear witness that you are the messenger of Allah, and Allah knows, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ. Allah knows that you are His messenger. However, Allah denies them and say that they are liars. وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ. Allah testifies, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَكَاذِبُونَ. They are liars. Yani the kadhib of the munafiq in this statement is that which is in the heart. While what they said on the tongue is true, but it is rejected if that which is on the tongue is not in accord with that which is in the heart. Then it is kadhib. Finally, the Shaykh closes by mentioning two benefits that may be derived from the hadith. In addition to what has been mentioned about this hadith previously, he said that from amongst the benefits or the fawaid that may be derived from this hadith is the permissibility of takhsis al-mu'allim ba'da talamidihi bimasail min al-ilm dun al-akhirin. Idha khashiya adam fahmihim dahab. Yani that it is permissible for the teacher to single out some of his students for certain issues of knowledge to the exclusion of other of his students if he fears that they will not understand such issues. And he can take some of his students and teach them something that he doesn't teach the others if he fears that the others will not understand it, as the Prophet ﷺ has given this knowledge to Mu'adh and he didn't say it to the generality of the people. And this idea of takhsis al-mu'allam bi ba'd talamidihi, that the teacher will select some of his students to the exclusion of others, has been mentioned in the chapter heading by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah. In this way he said, bab man khassa bil ilmi qawman duna qawmin irahiyat an la yafhamu. Yani Al-Imam Al-Bukhari entitled the chapter heading, bab, the chapter, the one who singles out for knowledge some people to the exclusion of others, for fear or in taking precaution from the possibility that they might not understand it. Irahiya, yani detesting, yani to give this knowledge to those who might not understand it. So this is a legitimate position that the teacher might exclude some of the students from certain issues of knowledge that they might not understand and give it to others who the teacher feels would understand it. And the second and the last point that he mentions from this hadith, the point that may be derived from it, is a qa'idah, or a general principle in Islam, which is of great importance that the Muslims should understand, and it is, أَنَّ ذَرْعَ الْمَفَاسِدْ مُقَدَّمْ عَلَى جَلْبَ الْمَصَالِحِ, that pushing away benefits, yani preventing harm, preventing al-mafasid, harmful things, takes precedence over trying to achieve beneficial things. If there is a conflict in a certain action that one may do, it might bring some harm and it might also achieve some benefit, then preventing the benefit has precedence over achieving the benefit. And the details of this rule have been mentioned by some of the scholars, from amongst them Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Taymin in his book, The Minhaj of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, Al-Aqidah wal-Amal. In that book he discussed this principle in some detail, and he said that this is not an absolute rule, not in every case, but it is in the case where the harm is equal to the benefit, or where the harm is greater than the benefit, then the person should not engage in that thing, giving preference to preventing the harm, as opposed to engaging in that thing to get the benefit, along with it coming equal harm or greater harm. In that case, it should not be done. Yani if the harm is equal or greater, then the person should not do that action. However, if the benefit is greater, then it is permissible to engage in that which might bring some harm if the benefit is actually greater than the harm. Otherwise, the general principle here is that preventing harm takes precedence, but that is in the condition where the harm and the benefit are equal, or where the harm is greater than the benefit. And what determines harm and benefit? It is the shara' or the sharia, the Islamic law, the Quran and the Sunnah, and it is not the intellect or the mind, and also the establishment of clear, decisive proof, yani from the Quran and Sunnah. Yani what determines what is harmful or what is beneficial? It is the clear, decisive proofs from the Quran and the Sunnah. And this is something, the Shaykh says that this is something, it is an extremely important matter which many of the people have overlooked. Wallahu musta'an. This is the end of what we wanted to present. And just quickly, to look at the questions with the handout. The first of those questions, it is discuss الشرط الرابع, the fourth condition of لا إله إلا الله, and mention the previous شروط briefly. The fourth condition, it is the condition of a صدق, truthfulness, that صدق which nullifies or negates كذب, lying, and which prevents النفاق, hypocrisy. The previous conditions are العلم واليقين والإخلاص, يعني having knowledge of the meaning of لا إله إلا الله, what it confirms and what it negates, certainty, meaning having complete and perfect knowledge which allows no doubt, and ikhlas, yani sincerity, which nullifies the possibility of shirk. Mention a dalil or evidence from the Quran for this shirk. The Shaykh has mentioned two. The first of them is from Surah Al-Ankabut, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Alif lam mim ahasiba an-nasu ay yutraku ay yaqulu amanna wa hum la yuftanun wa laqad fatanna alladhina min qablihim فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. And the point in this ayat which is of importance is that Allah would test the people when they say they believe, and He will make known those who are sadiq, truthful, and He will distinguish them from those who are kathib, lying. The other proof that he mentioned is from Surah Baqarah chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. In the end of that ayat, he said that the people, the hypocrites, they would be punished because of their because of their lying, yani when they claim to believe. The third question, mention a dalil or evidence from the sunnah for this shart or this condition. That is the hadith of Mu'adh in which the Prophet ﷺ said that no one would testify to this statement of La ilaha illallah wa Muhammadur Rasulullah, صدقًا من قلبه, truthfully from his heart, except that Allah would prevent the fire from touching him. Question number four, discuss the verse, do people think that they will be left alone because they say we believe and would not be tested? And the important thing of this ayat is that people would not be left alone on claiming, just by saying, أَيْ يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَلَا يُفْتَنُونَ. And nobody would be left alone just by saying on their tongue they believe, except that they will have to be tested to confirm the sincerity or the truthfulness, the صدق of their claim. Number five, give an example of how the earlier believers were tested. And from amongst them, the Bani Israel, they were tested by many hardships and harms that came from Fir'aun. And the Prophet ﷺ also mentioned those who were killed, the people of the ditch who were thrown in the fire, the people whose bodies were sawed in half, and so on. Discuss the sickness or disease mentioned in the verse, in their heart is a disease, in Surah Al-Baqarah, yani, فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا. And in the meaning of this disease, it is a nifaq, hypocrisy, or shak, doubt, doubting the truth. What is question number seven? What is meant by al-jaza'u min jins al-amal? It means that the recompense or the reward that one would receive would be similar or like the amal, the action that one engaged in. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, هَلْ جَزَاءَ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. And is there any reward for doing good except good? يعني الجزاء من جنس العمل, it means whoever does good, then the reward will be good. It will be like it. It will be similar to it. And whoever does evil, the reward will be accordingly. Question number eight mentioned the sifat or characteristics of the munafiqun mentioned in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 143. The first of them is laziness in their prayer, al-kasal. The second of them is al-riyah, ostentation, yani doing the prayer or whatever they do of worship just to be seen by men. The third of them is their remembrance of Allah is very little, qalil dhikrillah. And the fourth of them is that they go back and forth between the believers and disbelievers, neither being from this party nor that party. And these are the sifat that a true believer should be careful of and avoid at all costs. Number nine, what can be derived from the word, there's none who testifies truthfully from his heart? As Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani said, these words, صِدْقًا مِنْ قَلْبِهِ, it is to indicate that this shahada is only acceptable from the person who says it truthfully. And this excludes those who lie when they say it, meaning the munafiqun. And the last question mentioned two benefits that derived from the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu. The first of them is takhsis al-ilm, yani that the teacher might give some knowledge, especially to some of the students, to the exclusion of others, yani for the sake of protecting those who he thinks might not understand. It is not to give preference to some over others without any reason, but it is with a reason. Because if the teacher fears that some will not understand the issue, then he should exclude those who will not understand, because people should be taught in accordance with that which they can understand. And the second of them is the principle of giving preference to preventing harm over achieving that which is beneficial. Preventing harm takes precedence. Dar'a al-mafadith al-mafasid muqaddam ala jalb al-masali. That preventing harmful matters has precedence, should be given preference over seeking or achieving beneficial things when there's a conflict between them. And as long as the harm is equal to the benefit, one should avoid engaging in that thing. While if the harm is less than the benefit is greater, then there is no harm in engaging it. Wallahu a'lam. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there are any questions or comments or corrections, we can take a few questions. And then